You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD, hour number two here. Nathan Zger, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs, the married man with you here in the Dog Bowl. But first, we're going to take a listen to Danny Shelton, the Browns' second-year player. Had a strong finish to minicamp this week, and here's what he had to say.
I probably got like a brown belt. But we've been working a lot with Coach Joe Kim, you know, so it's awesome to have him back at Cleveland, you know, working with the guys. Just seeing him, he brings a lot of energy for the whole team, really. He works with all of us, but specifically with the D-line, he's a guy that's going to help us out with our pass rush.
Desmond mentioned that you arranged sort of a paintball go-karting thing.
Oh, yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Just wanted to do like a little defensive outing, defensive activity thing. And so invited, you know, D-line, outside linebackers, linebackers, DBs. And we all went over to Swings and Things in Olmsted Township. And so really just wanted to build that team bond, build the connection with the pass rush, you know, just everything helps, really. So if we're able to go out and hang out with each other outside of football, it's just going to make us that much closer as a unit. It was awesome. We got to do some paintballing. I think I got hit once in my stomach. It wasn't that bad, but I mean, I got the guy in the hip, so it was cool. And then we did go-karting. I guarantee those guys, the workers there were, you know, tired of having us there because we were everywhere, running around everywhere, playing on the go-karts, playing on the bumper boats. It was just a time for us to have fun, be kids. I was surprised too. The go-karts, I mean, they have the seat belts that can, you know, extend far. So I was good. I was fine. Came in first a couple times.
Talk about how having Ray Horton as your defensive coordinator is going to help bring out the best in you.
Honestly, Coach Horton's bringing out the best in a lot of us, really. He's asking us and demanding from us, you know, our 100% effort, you know, and just everything that he talks about is always spot on. Everything relates to football, relates to us getting better, us being better players. And so really it's awesome being in the meeting room and, you know, just hearing him talk about what our goals are for today at practice, as far as just finishing, running to the ball. He's really changed the culture.
I saw you tweet out some stuff about the jersey switch and what you're going to do for fans who bought the 71 jersey. All right. Can you kind of go over that and why you came up with that?
Yeah, so initially, I told the fans that I wanted to do something for them. The ones who bought, you know, 71 jersey. And so this past maybe month and a half, been thinking of stuff, and overall just came down to me just giving my time to sign for them, meet and greet. We're still finalizing that. My agents and then, you know, also Jenner with the Browns. But really, really just kind of building that chemistry with the fans, you know, trying to change the culture around in Cleveland. I mean, we've already done so much as far as, you know, Cleveland as a group of people, with the win in UFC, with our basketball team. They're not doing too good right now, but you know, honestly, they've worked their butts off this whole season, and it's awesome to see where they're at. And then even our baseball team. So I mean, I just feel like the culture in Cleveland is going to change, and so for me to be able to give my time and, you know, sign jerseys for these fans who, you know, bought my original number, it's the least I could do, really.
You've been able to get an estimate how many 71 jerseys sold?
No, I didn't even try. Honestly, I just, planning on doing a meet and greet in Ohio and then doing a meet and greet in Washington. And then anyone from any other state or, country, they could just mail it over and I'll get that signed for them.
You're telling us about these things that y'all have done outside of this building, like paintballing and riding go-karts. Do you like your teammates more this year?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Gary, what the idea of, doing the paintballing was from Gary Barnage. I mean, he's the guy who's always trying to do activities after football with the team, with the fans. And so he actually had everyone come out to paintballing. I can't remember where, but he did paintballing last month, and it was like a whole team thing. And some of us didn't make it out, and so it was kind of cool to just have the defensive guys, pass rushers, and together to bond together. But our team's really coming together. Coach Jackson's doing a great job with just making sure his coaches are on top of us, as far as us being better men, better teammates, better with everything we do, really.
He was impressed by how dedicated you are to getting your weight where the coaches want it to be. How much weight is the difference from last year to now?
Honestly, it's about, I want to say, close to 30 pounds. Towards the end of the season, that's when my weight started getting out of hand, and really just taking the opportunity with Coach Horton and Coach Jackson coming in, taking that opportunity to show them, a new player. Obviously everybody has a fresh start with these new coaches, but I wanted to take advantage of that opportunity and, start the change around the team with myself. And so when I was able to do that, to change my weight, to drop the weight, it was more of me being accountable and me being able to sacrifice for the team and work for the betterment of the team.
What number are you at right now, and what was the key to dropping all that weight?
Well, my goal was 335 before the season starts, and so I got that about 3 weeks ago. So I've just been maintaining now, and honestly, just playing at this weight will be better for me. As far as being on the field more, getting more playing time, and then for my lifestyle, just to be better on my knees and just for my health, really. Honestly, just working with Coach Adam, Coach Evan, those two were my guys who helped me, really. They were my secret ingredient to losing all this weight. I did do some MMA training in Parma, but overall, Coach Adam, Coach Evan were the guys who helped me finish and get me to my goal. And I did this all before the nutritionist came on staff. So, now I don't really need to talk to her, but I probably should. But, yeah, it's been great.
Desmond Bryant, what makes him an effective player? What kind of a teammate has he been to you?
Honestly, just looking at him, I mean, anybody who crosses paths with him would be scared, just what he's capable of doing. And this past off season, it's been awesome to see these guys, John Hughes as well, Jamie Meter, Xavier Cooper. These guys have been busting their butts, working with Coach Kim. We're all kind of new to the martial arts type of stuff, but it's pretty cool to see these guys have fun and have a different kind of feeling and energy. Des Bryant, he's really the leader of our D line. He's a guy that we all look up to. He's the guy who has the most years. He's also the guy who's busting his butt the most. Just as far as being in the weight room, as far as getting the plays down, he's been a great leader for us.
Can you be more specific about how your role will change in this defense?
Honestly, I feel like my role as a defensive lineman, really priority is the real priority is to stop the run. Second to that would be my pass rush ability. And so working with Coach Kim this past offseason, that's really helped me grow as a player, just adding to my pass rush ability and the technique, really. Focusing on technique, focusing on just adding pressure to the quarterback.
Danny, how different has this offseason been for you compared to last year with the draft and having to finish school?
It's been great, really. Last year was crazy. Rookie year is always going to be a lot of stuff, really, mentally and physically. But I felt like this offseason, this past offseason, I was able to do what I wanted to do. That was getting into mixed martial arts and, doing my cardio, dropping weight. I felt more of a professional. My rookie years was more like me having to follow people around, having to just shadow people, I felt like. But now that the offseason has, just going off of what we did this past offseason, I feel more of a leader, more of a professional. So it's just an awesome feeling, really.
How do you ensure that you have your weight point balloon again as the season goes on?
Honestly, that was kind of my first concern when I started back in February, because my goal was to get to 335 by July before training camp. And so it was kind of like if I get to 335 right before camp, I'll have a month before the season actually starts to work with the weight. But now that I've done it so early, I have this many months to work with the weight, drop more if I need to, add more if I need to. But honestly, just working with Coach Adam, Coach Evan, being consistent with that.
Are you a big fan of MMA? Can you ever see yourself in the ring?
Yeah, I can see myself, being in the ring. But I also can see myself doing a lot of other things too. I'm still a kid. I like to see myself as, and so every time I'm watching kung fu movies or whatever, I'm always the guy who's always practicing the moves on his siblings, or my girlfriend, she gets tired of me, trying to do karate moves and stuff. And so honestly, I'm just loving life and, trying to live it.
That's Brown's second-year defensive tackle, Danny Shelton. When we come back, we'll go back to the phones, 216-578-0850. We can talk about the Cavs, talk about the Browns here on CBD. Oh, don't you dare look back.
Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, and Jason Gibbs. And here is your chance to put a BMW through its paces. Join us for an exciting driving experience unlike one you've ever had before. Rip around an autocross on a closed circuit and then enjoy a more leisurely drive of the ultimate driving machine on nearby city streets. Register today at bmwevents.com/2016CLEVELANDUDE. Again, that's bmwevents.com/2016CLEVELANDUDE.
You guys ever done that before?
No.
It is amazing. I got to drive a convertible I didn't even fit in. My head was literally above the windshield. It was a two-door, ridiculously nice car.
Like a Z4?
Yep, something like that. I don't even know. I don't know cars well. I got to take one of those test drives. It was ridiculous.
All you knew is you didn't fit in it.
Yep, exactly.
I don't know cars well, but I know I didn't fit in
it. And it handled so well. Oh, my God. You want to drive one of the premier cars? I'm telling you, that is an event you don't want to miss.
I am a fan of BMW.
All you got to do, again, is go to bmwevents.com/2016CLEVELANDUDE, and that is your chance to make it happen. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We still got Robert Nunn, the Browns defensive line coach, to come, but we're going to go back to the phone lines now. 216-578-0850. Joe in Lake Tahoe. Welcome.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing quite well. I've been listening to your show for a long time. This is the first time I've ever called.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Love the show. I wanted to tell you guys about this like great Cleveland omen I received yesterday.
Okay.
See, I was at the gym and I was working out. This was about a week ago, and I realized, like, how am I going to call myself all in when I don't even have an all in Cavs shirt? I had moved here about 10 months ago, and I only brought my Browns gear, left my Cavs jersey on accident, of course. But anyways, I go ahead and I order this shirt while I'm on the elliptical machine with my phone, and I'm very sad to see that it won't arrive until the 16th or the 22nd. And I'm thinking, like, all right, well, at least I'll get the shirt by game 6, and I'm pretty confident that we're going to get there, you know. So yesterday I got the shirt 3 days early. All-in t-shirt showed up just like the Cavs did yesterday, 3 days early for 3 victories in a row for the finals.
So that was an omen.
Yes.
That is an omen. And it worked out, that's for sure. The proof is in the pudding yesterday. Now it's just got to come through 2 more times for us. Appreciate the call. Enjoy Lake Tahoe. Fine place. Not that far from where I grew up. Let's go to Avery right here in Cleveland. Avery, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, thank you for having me on, man. I wanted to say real quick, I really think that the Browns are buying into Hugh Jackson and what he's selling, and I really think they believe
in there's no
house.
Question. I agree.
The way they sound, the way they talk, everything about him is different. But I want to go to the Cavs. I want to say first, I want everybody to remember that the Cavs, the one game that they did win, they won it with all of the Golden State players present. So, I'm not really – I do think Green had a big impact on them not being there, but I do think the Cavs could do what they did with Green on the court. So I'm not really worried about his return. And then you got to remember I think I forgot my second point, man. But well, I guess I just want everybody to remember that the Cavs are very capable, even though Draymond Green is coming back. I think we could do that with him on the court. Sorry, I forgot my second point.
You're all good, man. That's right. They're definitely capable. I couldn't agree with you more. I think they've got to come out and execute and do what they've got to do. They've got to take care of their business. And if they do that, they are going to go on and be a team that rewrites the history books. Nobody's ever come back from 3-1 in the NBA Finals. Well, they're 2 wins away from it, and hopefully they can get it done.
Yeah, well, hold on 1 second. And don't you think that while LeBron's legacy may be in question because of 6 finals appearances, the only 2 championships coming in Miami, none here in Cleveland, that the first could be a history-making type of win?
Of course.
For a guy that left and came back, for a city that's been down, that has, you know, kind of risen back to become what it is with the casino and the restaurants and, you know, revitalizing downtown Cleveland, that, okay, we're down 3-1. And we saw it happen to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Sure.
You know, it can happen. We know it can happen. Although, it's never happened in the finals. But to have this would be like 1.5 finals wins for LeBron to come back this way with this team.
It would be absolutely incredible. And why not? Let's do it. Let's go to Tony in Dover now. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
I just want to
point out, I think we'll take one game at a time, obviously. But going into game 6 with Bogut out, you know, they're going to have to put Green at the center. So I think as long as JR and Kyrie and everyone can be aggressive and take it to the rack, you know, they don't have that rim protector anymore. And if JR and Kevin Love stay on the wing, they should, you know, be prepared and ready to shoot. And as long as, I mean, LeBron comes out with that same intensity for 2 more games, again, 1 at a time, I think the Cavs will, you know, win game 6 and do or die out in Golden State. But I think last night the Cavs broke the Warriors' spirit a little bit there towards the end. Look at their faces with 1:46 left on the clock. They zoom in on Curry's face. And I think they hit their ego a little bit. I think it really crushed their soul thinking, oh, we're going to have a big party tonight. The Cavs are just going to roll over. And, you know, Kyrie Irving and LeBron came out and had their game. But I think, you know, as long as they do that, have a good simple mind rate. Richard Jefferson coming off the bench being huge again. Take 8-6 and go from there. Again, fellas, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, you got it. And I think, you know, that's something that you can't put a number on. You know, how high were these guys ready to win at home?
Yes.
And how much, you know, have they come back down to earth? And I think that Draymond Green is going to be in a he'll take them, you know, start stepping them back up, you know, mentally where they need to be, because I don't think Draymond's just going to let these guys go through the motions, be cold and robotic as they sometimes can, because of how emotionally charged he is. So it's humbling, you know, to now have to fly to Cleveland with a doubt in your mind. It's got to be exciting that you can go here and win, but you now have a doubt in your mind. You know that.
Of course.
Okay, if I'm Steph Curry, I'm not hitting. Klay just went off, and I don't think Klay, if you really have watched him, you know, probably as much as you and I both have, it's he doesn't go 37-37, 37-33. It's like 37-24, you know, 37, you know, 27. It's not sure. the reigning Klay. That's just not his game. You know, whereas Curry had done it all year to average what he averaged to be the, you know, the scoring leader and so on and so forth.
It
so he stinks. So it's if you can have those two players, their 1-2 punch, the Splash Brothers, one in question, one hitting, or both in question, and have LeBron and Kyrie dragging this team along, not entirely offensively the way they did last night, but doing what they do best, and then actively getting participation from Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, your Channing Frye minutes, your Richard Jefferson minutes, you know, your Shump minutes. I think things are headed in the right direction. And I also believe that the bench players of the Warriors have to be questioning themselves too, because they haven't done much, you know, to be talked about the way they did since game one, when neither of the Splash Brothers were hitting.
Right. And listen, through three games, they were averaging combined 28 points a game.
Right.
And they were still up 2-1 there. But I don't think that's the case anymore. They're going to have to find a way to really put some points up on the board if the Warriors want to have a chance. But I don't want the Warriors to have a chance. It's over. The series is over. I've called it. Steph Curry stinks. Let's go final call here. That's right. I'm willing it. Dan and Hershey Pod. Dan.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Go Browns. Hey, I got to make a comment on the Cavs, but I have
sure.
a Browns question for you guys, too. I can't say anything more about it than you guys have said already, but the one thing you haven't mentioned, which I think would be a dream scenario, is we take care of business tomorrow night, and during the process of doing that, Draymond Green goes off and gets another flagrant foul.
Yeah, see, but I don't want like that. I don't want to beat them twice without Draymond and have that there. Like,
Oh, come on, man. Sure you do.
I don't care. Why? The Warriors have held the title for a year knowing they beat a team without Kyrie and Kevin Love.
I don't want anybody to be like, yada, yada, there's this, that, whatever. I just don't want that. I want the Cavs.
5 years from now, who's going
to
care? Oh, my goodness.
Not me. We'll still be shining our rings.
You're probably right about that. Nobody.
Nobody. And Draymond, you know, it would serve him right, this guy.
Listen, if he's stupid enough to do it, then I'm sure we'll take it. I didn't hear anybody complaining about getting it, you know, having it happen this time.
Right.
Yeah,
you
know, I'm
five,
also
worried about it.
Yeah, I'm also over.
I'm over
I think
Steph
so,
Curry.
Yeah, I'm over Steph Curry. I'm also over his wife. It's like I believe that wives have a role to be a support system, you know, and the backbone of what, you know, we as professionals went out and did and handling the life at home, handling the children, the travel, blah, 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 blah. But like, let your husband be a pro and hit his Twitter account or Instagram about refs and so on and so forth. It's not your place to shine when it's your husband's time to shine.
Totally agree. Totally agree. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, 216-578-0850. Then we'll get some more Omen stories. I wonder if Cam from Canada's got an Omen story for us. I know he was moved by that shirt story. So hopefully we'll get some of that. And also we'll hear from the Browns defensive line coach Robert Nunn here on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Earlier, we heard from the Browns defensive lineman Danny Shelton. So in a second, we'll hear from Browns defensive line coach Robert Nunn. But before that, I want to remind you, Dog Pound, that you can gear up for the 2016 Cleveland Browns season with new apparel from the Pro Shop at First Energy Stadium. Shop a wide variety of all-new gear, including hats, T-shirts, jackets, custom jerseys, and much, much more. Season ticket members, remember to swipe your membership card to receive your exclusive discount and a chance to win great prizes. The Pro Shop's open 11 to 5 every single day, or call 440-824-3427 for more information. Let's go now back to the podium and hear from Browns defensive line coach Robert Nunn.
How excited are you to kind of have him here?
Oh, one of the first discussions I had with you, you know, was about Joe. Joe is a great teacher. He can teach, and the guy, he has a great energy when he's around guys, and they buy into what he's, if he's teaching martial arts or football or how to drive that tractor over there, he can teach. He's a good teacher.
Is there a specific guy that stands out to you that he's sort of, you know, you look at him and Joe's gotten a hold of him and he's made him significantly better?
You know, we've worked with a lot of guys. He's worked with me with, you know, Jason, all the way back to Jason Taylor days, you know, and Justin Tuck, O.C. Umanyora, Jason Pierre-Paul. He's worked with all those guys with me. So I'm excited about having him here and our guys are too.
What are you seeing from Danny Shelton? He's coming into a second season, had one of those up and down rookie years, the good with the bad. What are you seeing from Danny and what's your vision for him? Is he a three down lineman? Is he, you know, what type of player you think he is and what he can be?
Well, the thing that Danny has bought into, I mean, he's gotten the weight off right now. He's in a very good place mentally, very good place physically, and he's a different player. He can do so many more things at the weight he's at right now and the condition he's in. So he's got to keep that. You know, time will tell. He's the one that controls that. I can help him only so much, and the strength coaches can only help him so much, and Coach Jackson can only help him so much. But he's really in a good place right now. I see him being more than a first and second down player. Will he be in there on every nickel package situation? No, but he will be in there against certain people. You know, when we get in a situation to where there's certain guards that really struggle with blocking guys like Danny. So he will be in the package if he stays right where he is from a mental standpoint and a physical standpoint. The guy's got special talent to be that big and to move as quick as he can. All he's got to do is stick with the process and keep improving his hands, keep improving his pad level, and keep improving his footwork. And this guy's the limit for Danny.
What does it tell you about him that, you know, his goal weight was 335 by training camp, and here he is, you know, a month ahead of time?
It tells me a lot of things. One is getting his mind right to get there. You know, I'm sure he's been told that before, but you know, Coach Jackson has done a good job of dealing with all of our guys, and Danny was just one of them. And he's bought in, and I think he sees it. I think he sees the difference of where he was and where he can be. And so, you know, again, and I told him just a little bit ago in my office, you know, time will tell that. You know, we can sit here and say all we want to, and he's done a great job. And my hat's off to him, and I respect what he's done, and I am extremely encouraged by what he's done. But on the same hand, he's got to continue to do it. He's got to fight it every day and battle it every day. And he's got a plan throughout the summer. I'll be in constant contact with him throughout the summer. And I'm excited about him as much as anybody of coming in here in great shape and getting off to a great start in training camp.
Has there been one or two guys that have maybe been pleasant surprises for you?
Cooper. Cooper, you know, he came in and, you know, he tweaked a groin there, or something. I don't know what he tweaked. He tweaked something, but he was with the trainers. You know, I think he's off to a good start. But there's no one in that group that I'm disappointed in. They've all – it's good energy. And if it feels right in that room, that's the way we want to keep it. And if we build it's a good foundation, then I'm excited about this group.
I was wondering if maybe somebody you hadn't seen, like you mentioned Cooper, maybe somebody you hadn't seen or had much of a, you know, a thought of before.
You know, I was excited until the rookie got hurt, you know, Carl. Yeah. You know, he got hurt. He came in mini camp, rookie mini camp, and – you know, for a tall guy, he can bend extremely easy, And so he's just got to stay out of the training room. That's, you know, I bust his chops about it. But he's got to be available, number one. But several of them. I mean,
so
Jamie.
Basically, you know, rushing from the end spot with him? Or what
we we'll do it all with him. He's got to get him out there enough to find out what we can do with him.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to be available first. But it was exciting watching him. I mean, a guy that's 6'7" that can bend as easy and bend his knees as easy as he can. It's exciting. But, you know, that group is, I think we got a healthy.
Said something by Jamie, I think I might.
Jamie, you know, yeah. I came in, and I just kind of watching the tape of Jamie and then getting him out here, I was excited about Jamie. He had a great camp. I think he's in a good place right now as far as the off season. He's got to continue on the drill work he's done and just improve his change of direction, improve his quickness, I'm excited about where he is.
Desmond's one of the kind of few veterans you have on that line, and you know, he's a guy that's been around a while, obviously, has had a good career. You know, what do you think you can get out of him?
Well, so far it's been great. I mean, he's good leadership, solid leader. He comes out here, and you know, when you break to the ball, he's one of the first guys to the ball. You see him doing things like that, and those young guys see that. And see a veteran do that like that, you know, it bleeds through the team fast. So we're excited. I'm excited about him. We're going to lean on him, lead on his leadership. You know, those guys have the great, you know, the really good defensive lines I've been around and coached. Those rooms, a lot of it was pleased about themselves. You know, my job was easy when we had the defensive line. So, and I'm counting on him, and I expect him to be at the front and take charge and get these young guys to moving in the right direction.
You know, we got time for just a couple more.
Yeah. How much did you watch last year?
Quite a bit.
When you came in and diagnosed, you know, stopping the run every year is a topic of conversation here because it's been a problem. Getting after the quarterback consistently, again, one of those areas that just the plan's always been in place, but it's never materialized.
Yep, and there's a lot of things that go into those things, you know, stopping the run and hitting the quarterback, and, you know, you got to do, because if you can't do one of them well, then it's going to cost you down the road with all of them, because this league's too good. I'm excited about the potential in that room. We've got different types of people that can do different things in there. But we need the guys that do what they do well doing it great. Just like, for example, Danny. I mean, we've got to be able to count on him to stop the run. We've got to be able to count on Armani to get to the quarterback. But those other guys have got to step it up in all those areas. And so it's a puzzle that you continuously work on. You know, there's no magic potion that you can sprinkle in there to make it work. It just comes from hard work and sticking with the process. We have a process in place that we're going to stick to through the good and the bad, and you know, stopping the run is number one, and then we got to hit the quarterbacks. It's a quarterback-driven league, and we get paid to disrupt them. And when I've been on good teams, we've disrupted the quarterbacks, and our quarterbacks played well. Those are the two things that's always been common.
Hughes has been around here for a while now.
Yeah.
Where is he in his career? What do you think
of him? Solid, you know, and John's a guy that he's going to look better when the pads come on than he does out here running around in their underwear. You know, he's not, he's you know, he's get down and dirty and blood his knuckles up, and that's when he is going to show up more.
Bloody knuckles.
There you go.
how much rotating do you think you're going to do along the line?
I've always rotated quite a bit. I've never had, my whole career, I've always had guys rolling in there. If you got a hat on Sundays, you're going to be in the game. And that's just kind of been a rule. Unless somebody's just really hot, you know, we will be rolling quite a bit.
Have you always been a 3-4?
4-3.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been 4-3.
So
messed with 3-4 a little bit in places, but
this,
a little bit new. Yeah.
I mean, is it really that?
It's back to coaching. It's
is it drastically different though? I mean, because you're in your base defense.
It is,
only
but it's
a small percentage of
that's
the
right.
time.
It is, but then there's certain things that are different. But hey, it's coaching, getting the guys to believe in what we're doing, and sticking with the system, and staying with the process. There's nothing that's going to happen. I've told them that we can't figure out, and we'll have an answer for it. And we just got to stick with the process and play tough and smart.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Thank you.
That's Browns defensive line coach Robert Nunn. All business, very straightforward. A little bit of ribbing there for Carl Nassib, saying, I got to get him out there to find out what he can do.
how do you, as a rookie, you want to be out there, right, so you can get reps and impress.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't want to come back before you're ready to come back and really put yourself behind by missing any of training camp.
No, and that's why, you know, sometimes, as you heard there from Coach, they're just a little numb to a certain player. Like we, you know, certain players get us all giddy and happy because of how productive they might be or how excited you are about them. A coach in their heart of hearts has those same feelings, but as you go out to practice day after day after day and get ready for a game week after week after week, give me whoever's healthy, you know. And that's why ultimately they'll have, as you look at constructing this final 53, Coach Nunn will give, you know, his synopsis, and then Ray Horton will give his synopsis, Hugh Jackson will give his input, and then Sashi Brown will make a decision.
Yep.
It will be with the help of those guys, but ultimately, give me six good guys that have these attributes, and I don't really care who they are or how much they get paid or what year they are in the league. Give me those guys that are going to work hard within our scheme, and I'll go out there. Take the numbers off their backs. Take the nameplates off their backs. I don't care. And that's what where he was coming from. You know, he probably does have high aspirations. You heard him talk about, you know, his flexibility for a tall guy, but, you know, what's the best type of ability?
Availability.
Availability. And he was not.
You know, it's funny. I like you said real quickly about the numbers. The Patriots practice without numbers or names on their jerseys in the offseason, and the NFL just told them they can't do that anymore, which I thought was very interesting thing. Anyway, we'll be back. Final thoughts wrapping up this Tuesday edition of CBD right after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs wrapping it up here on today's show. Obviously, huge win for the Cavs yesterday. It'll be fun to see how that all plays out Thursday night at the Q, but certainly a great start to the week with the Cavs getting it done. And of course, you know, Browns, they won't be back for a little while, but we still got some good content for you that we're going to bring you over the rest of this week. Some interviews from players and coaches alike, just to keep you up to date on the very, very latest. Gibbs, any final words from you on your first show back as a married man?
Good to be back, guys. Good to be back. Good to celebrate a Cavs win. Happy for the city because they get a lot of revenue coming in the next few days.
Yes.
It's going to be good for the city.
And, it is.
At the end of the day, regardless of what ends up happening, that'll be a big positive.
Yes, it most certainly will be. All right, that'll do it for us. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. They're going to have a lot of fun. And Dina wants everybody to know, listen to the B-Hool Show, the Hooli Show today for your chance to win dinner for you and a guest with Bruce and Dino at the Brown Derby in Belden Village. So might as well listen for that. Absolutely. All right, that'll do it for us. For Jason Gibbs, Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zgura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.